Why don't you turn to Romans chapter 5? I'm going to go through quite a few scriptures today. It's just one of those, let's put it this way. God has been giving a revelation, but there's also the time for us to be established in a truth. And so we're in the time now where we're hearing about the gift of faith, the gift of righteousness, and we're starting to speak a little bit about this incredible gift of grace that our Father has given to us. And it's important for us to be established in this, because it's so foundational for us to be able to deal with the accuser, to deal with the thoughts, to deal with all the things that hit and come our way, that tries to stop us from our God-given destinies. And so we want to spend a bit more time in really going deeper into this Romans chapter 5 and some other scriptures this morning. We're dealing with a spiritual battle. Our enemy is not flesh and blood, as we know, but it's against the spiritual principalities and powers. And because we are a group of believers here that is not church focused, but God has given us a region, we will face a lot of onslaught. We will face a lot, because the last thing the enemy wants is to allow us to be able to, the children of God, to be able to take authority over a region that he's had control of and he's operated for so long. And so this is why it's so important for us to get established in a truth so that we can stand. And you're going to see the word stand used a few times this morning when we speak about the armor of God, so that you can stand. We speak about this grace, so that in this grace we are able to stand. And so we wanting to learn how to stand in this gift of righteousness, how to stand in grace, how to stand in Christ Jesus. And so we're not going to be thrown around and defeated. And so we've been speaking a lot also on Wednesday about the reality of God is busy bringing healing and life to all the little cracks that we have. That he wants us to understand grace so that we can appropriate it in these cracks. And I'll explain that as we go on, maybe next week, while we get this morning. But for us to be able to understand what this grace is all about, to understand what this gift of righteousness is all about, because that's going to play a big role in understanding Holy Spirit's ministry. Because the new covenant, this covenant of grace, includes Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings this all into our lives as a reality. And so we're wanting to get established in this, and you might be having a struggle in things that the Holy Spirit is busy exposing, and you might also be hearing the voice of the accuser who's accusing us all the time, and how can you do this, how can you do that, and these are the things that God wants to help us to get deliverance, to get healing. For some, you know, you will find many of the folk that you are going to be dealing with have gone through a divorce, and there's a lot of cracks of rejection, of betrayal, of all these things that have taken place, and that if that's not healed with the life of Holy Spirit, it's always going to be the area where the enemy is going to accuse you. How can you do this because of that? In our past, we've all done things and we've made decisions. And if we don't receive the incredible life of Holy Spirit and the healing and the blood of Jesus and the broken body of Christ and what he has done, Those are the areas where the enemy is going to voice and try and trip us up. And we're going to make many mistakes. And this is why when Paul gives an incredible insight when he says over there, but I pleaded 3 times for God to take away this thorn. But God said, my grace is sufficient because my power is made perfect. So when we're speaking about the grace of God, it'll always be connected to the power of God. You see, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. So you cannot separate grace from God's power. They go together. And so we begin to understand when we are facing our challenges, our weaknesses and our inabilities and all our insecurities and all these things that we go through in life, now for us to get established in grace so that God's power is made perfect in all of those weaknesses, and we get the healing, we get the wholeness, and we get the victory in that. So a lot of what we're going to be speaking about is leading towards us living and being established in the life of God's incredible grace. I believe there that not many of us have gone deep into the life of the grace that comes from our Heavenly Father. I believe we've entered into it because we get born again and we've experienced some of it, but there's a lot. It's so, so deep, and God wants to take us to a depth of living far deeper in the life of grace that we have in Christ Jesus. I believe that many of the people that we're going to be ministering to and busy ministering to, they have an intellectual knowledge of grace, but they don't know the life of grace. They don't know the working, the power, the operation of this incredible grace in one's life. And there's a struggle that takes place because of that, because we're trying to do a lot in our own effort. So in Romans chapter 5, as we've been speaking about the gift of here, we see there in verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think just for those that are listening as well, because people listen to this, in a court case or in a judge, take a judge and just say that we are now facing him. In a legal reality, the judgment is based on basically the good actions, whether it was good actions that we did or bad actions. So if we did it, we broke the law, it was an action that was against the law. And so there was a verdict. There's a sentence taking place. But if we were found that our actions were perfect, everything, we will not be condemned. We will be not guilty. And so it's the same here with this gift of righteousness. Because here we're having a look, standing before our Heavenly Father, and the judgment is made. And he looks at us, and if we are trying with our own works, and he judges us on our works, we will all be guilty. But when he makes a judgment for us, he judges us on the works of his Son Jesus. Absolute perfection of obedience. And that's why he says over here, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And this is the area where the Holy Spirit wants us to ask, what do you mean by this? What is this grace that we now stand in? I don't want to just have the intellectual understanding and the definition. I want to live in the fullness. I don't want to live in the ankle deepness of grace. I want to step into and go knee deep now. I want to go deep. I want to go deep. I want to go deep. Because in this grace, everything operates. Everything flows. And so here we see there that this gift of faith that God has given to us, It's only this God divine faith that enables us to have access into God's grace. Religious faith does not give us access into grace because it's a works religion. It's all about my effort to work my way to get accepted by God. So it's only this incredible, that's why we have to understand that the move of God, us getting born again by the Holy Spirit is such an incredible miracle, because He gave us this faith to believe. He spoke into our lives, and as He was speaking one way or the other, there was a faith birthed within us, and God became very real, and we received the salvation of Jesus Christ for our lives. So any religious faith that's based on my works, my effort, my obedience, anything like that, does not give us access into this incredible grace. And that's important for us to understand, so that we remain in freedom. And we can look at a portion that I often speak about is in Galatians 5. Let's just quickly go to that verse 1 onwards there. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And this freedom is the freedom from, remember, the wages of sin is death. So all of us were bound, all of us were trapped by this incredible verdict of the wages of sin is death. So there's nothing that you and I could do to get set free from this eternal death sentence, this eternal separation from our Heavenly Father. Nothing at all. Nothing could free us from the power of sin. No human effort could free us from that power of sin. Nothing could free us from being under the control of Satan. Nothing. Only the blood of Jesus. And that's why it's so precious. And so here it is for freedom. And Paul writes there in that Romans 5, we now have peace. It's all part of this freedom that we have. Freedom from strife, freedom from guilt, freedom from struggling to try and improve our lives. Then he says, stand firm. Again, notice the word, stand firm. Very important. Holy Spirit, what do you mean here for us to stand firm? Why are you repeating this to us today? Stand firm. Is it because it's so easy to get sidetracked from a truth? Is it so easy to get influenced and persuaded by another lie? And he has something about us learning and taking a decision to stand firm in Christ Jesus. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. And he says, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves to be circumcised, again back to the works in order to be righteous before God, Christ will be of no value to you at all. So it's only this incredible faith that God has given us, this gift of Christ's perfection that we have received. It's only His incredible righteousness that enables us to have access into this grace. And it's only in this grace that we have the value of Christ Jesus operating in us and through us. Without this incredible access into grace, Christ has got no value. So if I'm trying to use a religious faith, a DIY kind of ability to try and improve the quality of my life in one way or the other, I'm bypassing grace. I'm bypassing what our Lord Jesus has done. I'm bypassing His life that's operating within me. So it's important to understand how to stand in grace. And when I'm speaking about grace, maybe a very simple way of explaining it is everything that you and I could not have done to be reconciled back to God. Christ did it for us. And we have received everything that Christ has done on our behalf. So everything about the life of Jesus, everything about His obedience, everything about Jesus, we have received His life. That's why it's that we no longer live, but it's the life of Christ. Christ lives in us by faith. And so we now enter into the place where we stand firm in Jesus Christ. Important to know that. And so he says over there, Christ will be of no value to you at all. And again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You are trying to be justified by the law or by our good works, whatever one you use, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. These are believers, born again believers, but they're not standing in grace. They stepped out of the grace that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. They stepped out of the power of Holy Spirit. They stepped out of the life of Holy Spirit. They stepped out of the life and the working of Holy Spirit. They've stepped out of the credible operating, the transforming power that transforms us and renews us. They've stepped out of all of that. And they've stepped into a very dull, hard Christianity. That's the reality of it. So, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So that, there's a good starting point there. Yeah, you can see God's faith expressing itself through love into our lives, that we get born again. Okay, it's in us. And so now we have this incredible reality here that we want to learn what it means to stand firm in grace. It's interesting that when we speak about the armor of God, the shoes fitted for the readiness of the gospel of peace. It's interesting when you look at the shoes, as I think most of us are aware of that, that in that time those shoes had like these studs so that they could stand firm in the battle and they would not slip in the mud, etc. Here we're seeing something about salvation. We're seeing something about the salvation in Jesus Christ, that we've been equipped with something, some kind of salvation shoes, that we can stand firm in our Lord Jesus Christ. To stand firm in the grace that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's pushing us? See, we're fighting a battle. And so grace is going to be very, very important for you and I to be able to be rooted and established in this grace as we fight a battle in the spiritual realm to set a whole town, the people of our town free from being captured by the enemy. See, as I said earlier on, we are not a family here that's focused on church. We're here because God has placed us. He loves the people of our town. And so it's not a church, my little church is God. He has a region that you've given to us. We need to now step into and learn how to begin to see the power of God, the Holy Spirit move. But we've got to understand grace, because on our own ability, not going to happen. We need to understand the key, the secret of this grace, how to step into grace. See, in our weaknesses, the power of God is made perfect. This falls in the realm of this incredible grace that God has given to you and I and displaying in our lives. So back to Romans chapter 5. Let's read a little bit more. And then he goes on and he says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. This is God's total involvement in our lives. It's all His ability that we have now received. We stepped into God's ability. We stepped into the fullness of who God is. That's where we are. That's who we are. That's where we stand and we live, we must not allow anything to take us out of this. And we rejoice, interesting, in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. So it's only as we stand in grace that we're able to rejoice in sufferings, because His power is made perfect in our weakness. And we're experiencing the power of Holy Spirit operating within us in our sufferings. So if I can't rejoice in my sufferings, I'm not in grace. I'm stepping out of grace. Interesting. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given. So, righteousness, being justified, faith, grace, Holy Spirit. All in this incredible package of new covenant that we have received through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's carry on. And then you see in verse 6, you see at just at the right time, when we were still powerless. This is why grace is necessary, because we were powerless to save ourselves. We were powerless to get free of sin. We couldn't do it. Christ died for the ungodly. This is now explaining the working of grace. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, but for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. So it's an action. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It'll be good to go and spend time to meditate and ask the Holy Spirit to show us the incredible sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Some time back I said, Holy Spirit, You must take me into the cross. I need to know more of this incredible love action, this love of God in sending His Son. I need to know more about the love that Jesus has in giving His life, being totally perfect all the time, so that His perfection, His obedience, can become our reality as a gift. I need to learn more. And it might be good if you also ask the Holy Spirit to take you into the reality of Calvary, because it brings a zeal, it brings a passion, it brings a hunger, it brings an incredible love for God, because we just behold His incredible glory. And that's why we say we hope of the glory, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, because we see it. And then he carries on over here. Since we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? So he's explaining what he wrote there in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. And now he's busy explaining all of what that means. And he carries on over here. Not only in this is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, before the law was given, sin was in this world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, because wages of sin is death. And then it carries on. But the gift, this is this gift of righteousness, Christ's perfection that we have been given, and we are clothed with His righteousness. And it's interesting, Audrey, the tablecloths that cover this righteousness that covers. It's interesting, just that dream. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of our sins, how much more that God's grace and the gift, the righteousness that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift of righteousness followed many transgressors and brought justification. But if by the trespass of one man, death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace, and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And then it carries on there, and then we come right to the end of the chapter. Consequently, just as a result of one trespass was condemnation for men, so also the result of one act of righteousness. And then he explains this. What is this act of righteousness? Was justification that brings life to men? For just as through the disobedience, the unrighteousness of one man, the many were made sinners, so also now through the obedience, the perfection of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus, the many will be made righteous. And this is why this righteousness that God gives to you and I is such an incredible gift. As I shared before, righteousness, we're looking at God's perfection of goodness. That's the standard. All of us fell short of that. We couldn't match up to God's perfection because sin was operating within us. Jesus comes, and the angel said, the one to be born will be holy, separated, born of the Spirit, not of man. So Jesus comes without a fallen nature, and Jesus lived a life of absolutely total obedience. He lived to the standard of his Father's perfection of goodness. We couldn't do that. And so when we believed, we have received Christ's perfection. We have received his righteousness as a gift to us. So we are clothed with his righteousness, with Christ's perfection. And this quietens the accuser of the brethren. This is why we need to be established in all of this, because if people are divorced, if people have done all kinds of bad things, and all this comes up there, you've got to be able to silence that voice by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of our word. What's our testimony? I'm clothed in Jesus' blood. I'm clothed with righteousness. That's my testimony. I'm not testifying about how I did this and that. I'm testifying Jesus, what he has done for me. That's my declaration. That's my word. That's my testimony. And that's how we overcome these accusing voices that come all the time, because it'll neutralize us from walking in our God-given destiny. If we don't understand this incredible gift of righteousness. So through the act of one man's disobedience, Adam, all mankind received the death sentence. All of us now had the power of sin operating us, so none of us could ever live a perfect life again in obedience to God. The law came, and the law exposed how impossible it is for man to fully obey the Ten Commandments 100% of the time, every single day. It exposes the foolishness of religion. Exposes the foolishness of man's effort to try and become right with God. And that's why the old covenant was there leading us to the reality of the new covenant, that my son will do it for you. And you're going to receive it by faith, what my son, so that you can now be credited righteousness, righteous. And so we notice here, then he says over here, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ. So, why do we struggle so much? Because we notice here that grace reigns through the gift of righteousness. The life, let's go back to the verse 16. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? This is big. See, I really don't believe many believers, many of us understand this. We don't understand that when we're speaking about how much more will we, let's go back here. The gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Let's go back. When did we die? When Christ died. We were raised with Him into a new life in Him. So now this whole grace, this whole reality of the very life of Jesus Christ operates in our life because of this incredible gift of righteousness that we have received. And this is why you and I are able to reign in His life, in our life. Why do we struggle as believers? Because we don't understand this. We're not standing in grace. We get born again and we're standing in grace, we're experiencing grace, and then we somehow step out of grace and we are influenced by so many other things that now all of a sudden we've stepped out of Jesus Christ kind of thing. It's like He's got no value anymore in our lives. And we're battling. And God is calling us back to understand, guys, this is a gift that He's given to us and we need to become conscious of whether we're standing in this grace, we're living in this grace or not. And then he carries on, so that just as sin reigned in death, hey, isn't that awesome that it doesn't reign in our lives anymore, death, when sin doesn't reign in our lives because of this gift of righteousness? Also, grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word reign really means reign. It means I'm the king and I rule in your life. I have a domain and I rule. This grace of God says to you and I as believers, I am king in your life. I reign. Don't let sin reign. I rule. You see, it's very powerful. And that's why the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all of that is the reality of grace in fullness, dealing with the areas in our life that is broken, dealing with the areas of life that's full of cracks, so that we can enter into the reality, God, your grace, and grace, Holy Spirit, thank you, your life, so I can reign. It's through the grace of God, because of the gift of righteousness. We need to be established in this, because we're fighting a war and the enemy is going to come and is going to tell you things. And what's going to take place? The Word of God, Hebrews 4, is alive and it's active and sharp and it penetrates. And Jesus is now busy with the family of God. He's busy with His ecclesia and He's speaking with that sword of fire. And things are going to be exposed in our lives that is not, it's made a covenant with the demonic, it's made covenant with sin. It's participating in all the darkness. And we are holy people, we are set apart. And so Jesus is now busy and He's speaking and His word is going to stir up within us and it's going to be uncomfortable. We want to run away. We want to hide. And if we don't understand what we're speaking about now, we're going to go into condemnation because we're not established, but in Christ Jesus, your righteousness, because of your righteousness, I thank you that you're exposing stuff, but I thank you because of righteousness, grace reigns. And now I receive, Holy Spirit, your operating, transforming power to work powerfully within me in these areas that I'm broken. But I'm able to stand firm in our Lord Jesus Christ and not run away. So as the writer writes in Hebrews and he speaks about this powerful word of God that is sharp and it does this, he goes on and he says, but we can run to the throne room of grace. Grace, 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 to receive mercy, mercy, mercy in our time of need. And we need to understand, because it's going to become very uncomfortable as the Holy Spirit exposes, as the Word speaks into our lives. If we're going to, we're going to have a wobblies. But the invitation, don't run away. Come to the throne of grace, 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 to receive power, to receive the impartation of Holy Spirit's life, to receive the life of Jesus to flow into you, the operating, the law of the Spirit to work within you, to bring about the wholeness that we need. See, Jesus has done it all for us. When we're speaking about grace, we're speaking about the very life of Jesus flowing into our lives. When we're speaking about grace, we're speaking about what Ephesians 1 verse 3 says over there. Remember Ephesians 1 verse 3, where Paul writes over there, thanks be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's what we're speaking about when we speak about grace. Grace reigns through the gift of righteousness. And now all of a sudden this is very real. There's something about the life of Jesus is enabling me to be able to reign in life. It's enabling me to be able to experience the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ, His perfection, His obedience, what it means to be given the gift of righteousness. How do I live? How do I participate? How do I interact with this incredible gift of grace? Not only that, let's go to another scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to this. I thank God for you because of His grace given to you in Christ Jesus. See, this grace we received is in Jesus. It's not in law, it's not in religion, it's not in self-effort. It's only found in Jesus. That's why if we step out of grace, Christ has got no value, because it's only come through Jesus Christ. What He has done. Our life is in Him, being rooted and established in Him. Grace is reality of the fullness of Jesus operating and being released, that we might participate in His incredible life. I always thank God for you because of His grace given to you in Christ Jesus, for in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. That's profound. That's such an incredible truth as grace, because now in all our thinking we've been enriched. Our minds don't think like everybody else thinks. In our knowledge, our understanding of things, of life, is not the same as it was when we were unsaved. No, we've been enriched. We now can begin to understand the plans of God. We can begin to see His involvement. We can participate in His divine life. We have been enriched in every way. Grace. You see, the moment I start grumbling, I'm stepping out of grace. I'm stepping out of being enriched in every way. I'm stepping out of being enriched in all my knowledge and understanding of life. I'm back into ground boundness. We're in grace. We've been raised with Him. We're seated with Him in the heavenly realms. And God wants us to be established in this, so that we start to realize, but God, in your grace, there's something about me being enriched in the way I think. There's something about being enriched in all of my ways because of this incredible grace. For in Him, in Christ Jesus, we have been enriched. And that's a big, big word from God's definition of being enriched. In every way. It's a big, big word in God's dictionary of what He means by every way. In all of our speaking. This is why, you know, Yvonne, about the arrows and the prayer. We've been enriched in all our ways. When we pray, our prayers, our words are enriched with life, power. It's not just words. We've been enriched in every way we speak. So when we bless people, their words are enriched with living waters. We are a privileged people. See, now the Holy Spirit's going to make us aware that when I speak, is it enriched words? Or is it just flesh, self-centered words? As you know, Jesus is dealing with us. We can't stay at this level where we are to see a whole community saved, to see a nation saved. God so loved the people of our communities that He got us born again. That we can be involved with the great, great commission. In all your speaking and all your knowledge, we have been enriched. So, let's make sure we're standing in grace. Okay. I step out of grace very often, but the Holy Spirit makes me aware, and I say, Holy Spirit, thank you. It's helping me to get established. See, many times we get out and the Holy Spirit will remind us, and every time you make a decision to say, "Yo, Lord, thank you for the gift. Your life is ruling, reigning in my life." And that's why, as I shared, Paul could say that in my weakness, your grace is sufficient because your power is made known. So in Paul's weakness, he could reign in life and fulfill his God-given assignment because of God's grace operating in his weakness. You will probably find how the enemy works. You know how the enemy works. But you might find that what God has put into you, it's beyond your own natural abilities. You won't be able to do it yourself because in our weakness, God's power is made perfect. And that's why we've got to live in the realm of grace. So that what God has commissioned us to do, we're able to do it because of His Holy Spirit working. You will probably find that some of you will be called, whatever it may be, and you just say, but there's better choices out there. There's people that are qualified. There's people that can do this. No. Be in grace. Listen to what God has said and the calling of God and say, yes, Lord, your grace, I'm going to be an example of what grace is all about. Because everybody knows me as a person. They know my abilities. They know about who I am. But I'm showing you what grace is all about. I want them to see your power being made perfect in my life. So if the accuser of the brethren comes and says to you, you're not good enough, that person's more qualified, shut that voice out. Because of the gift of righteousness, I've entered into grace, and grace reigns in my life. And I'm going to show you the power of God. With Him, all things are possible. And we move forwards, not being sidetracked in our own abilities, but operating in the anointing of Holy Spirit. It's pretty. May the Holy Spirit take us all deeper into this, because it's pretty big, this, of understanding this grace. Father, thank you for you taking the initiative in saving us, sending your Son Jesus Christ. Today, as we partake with you, Lord, as we eat and we drink the bread and the grape juice representing your broken body, but also in understanding your broken body, also knowing that all of our sins was placed upon you and you received the wrath of God instead of us. So the consequences, the reality, you took it upon you. And so as we eat, we want to thank you. Because of your broken body, we can get wholeness. And where sin has grabbed hold of us in our past life, or even maybe in our present reality, and we find there that somehow we just can't get free, and maybe there's many, many agreements that we have made that we know have been the wrong agreements, and as we partake with the powerful blood of yours, we want to thank you that it looses us, frees us, makes all things new. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for your blood that's working within us, that continually deals with any form of unrighteousness that is still operating in our lives. So that as we have received the gift and your life in us, we know we are no longer slave to unrighteousness because of the power of your blood operating within us by the Holy Spirit. So as we again eat and drink, we wanted to celebrate you, Jesus. We want to thank you for your perfection. We want to thank you for your total obedience. But we want to thank you that you came. Your love for us was so, so huge. And as you went, and we just have a better understanding of faith being expressed through love, because you had total faith in your Father in raising you from the dead. You had total faith in your Father when you came to this earth as a man. You had walked in faith all the time, believing in your Father is going to raise you from the dead. I want to thank you for that love that is so tangible in our lives. So we thank you. So Holy Spirit, thank you as you minister to us. Thank you for your goodness. And this we receive this morning, Jesus, in what you have done for us, for your glory and honor. Lord, the prayer is going to change. Father, this is going to be the new prayer where we are going to come, and now we're going to be saying, Father, Jesus and I have come to glorify you. It's now going to change where we're going to start to realize, but when Jesus, you said that whatever we ask the Father, you're going to do it so the Father is glorified. But now that we are learning the reality of being in you, we come together with you, Jesus. It's such a joy to come with you to say, Father, today, what's on your heart? Because we and Jesus, we want to bring you glory. So we want to thank you for the power of grace that is being released so that you are made known to the world. You are made known to people. Lord, I see that we're going to be transformed. We're going to be changing. Today is a big day in the separation, a big day of the chains falling off, a big day where things that have held us back, it's no longer that going to be our reality, because we're stepping into Jesus, your finished work. We're stepping into your life. We are being raised with you. We're stepping in your resurrected life, that we may live a new life, a new creation in you. And I want to thank you that Holy Spirit, your incredible power is going to be our new, almost norm, if we could say that. We'll be able to walk in the fullness of grace. So take us deeper, take us deeper, take us deeper. So it's grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Please have full permission in our lives. Holy Spirit, lead us into the fullness of grace and found in Jesus Christ. And I think today when you said to us that this grace reigns through this gift of righteousness, and without receiving this gift of righteousness, we don't experience your grace. The only time we would is when we get born again and we experience it. But we want to live a life because of righteousness that you've given us. We want to live a life where we experience this incredible grace reigning in and through our lives. But we know that this grace that you're speaking about is not just about us. It's about a world. It's about the unsaved. It's about the saved. It's about broken people. It's about all kinds of people to be able to experience the life of Jesus being released through us. Because this grace is all about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we decree that over our communities, over our lives this morning. Your grace has a manifestation for the reality, for the manifestation of your kingdom here. And we thank you. It's not about just us, but it's us being part of something so great, connected to your love for all mankind. So we thank you for that. We want to thank you as we just again take hold of a truth that all our speaking and all our thoughts, our knowledge, our understanding has been enriched in every way because it's in you, Jesus. And we have a new word. We have a new way of thinking. And we want to thank you that you're setting our minds, our thoughts, our speech free from being under the reign of unrighteousness, because it's now under the rule of the King of righteousness, Jesus Christ. So thank you as we eat. Release this all to become established within us this morning for your honor and for your glory, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.